Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Ce m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea?
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And then one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să faci?
What will you do with me, I said?
Been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitru Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And once again, although we are not live, we are so close to live, we might as well be. Today is... May. We're already into May. So today is May the 7th, the year of our Lord 2020. What was supposed to be what? A 2-week lockdown to flatten the curve. Remember that? Let's go back into the way back machine of what, March? And remind ourselves what we were told repeatedly. This is not about stamping out the virus. This is about flattening the curve because we don't want to overwhelm hospitals. That was the big issue. We had giant ships that docked in New York, that docked in California. We were ready, baby. And then the ships went home. All the mobile hospitals shut up. Right now, there's nurses and doctors being furloughed. Because all elective procedures were put on hold, but also because they've ramped up fear about this thing so much that people with legitimate issues, people with legitimate ailments, are staying home because they believe the virus to be worse than a minor stroke. That's kind of scary to me. There's people, you know, just grinning and bearing it. There's people rubbing dirt on it instead of going to the hospital because they're afraid they're going to catch the deadliest disease known to man. At least that's what the nightly news makes it out to be. So, I like to be a realist. I'm not an optimist by any means. I don't think that just by being an optimistic person, the world becomes rosier. But I'm a realist, and the reality is this. Mortality rate is under 1%. Some people say that survival rate is 99.7. So between staying home, having had a stroke, and not feeling the right side of your face, or going to the hospital and risking contracting the virus, my suggestion to you is go to the hospital, because it's no fun not being able to feel half your face. So although all of us are still alive, evidently, liberty doesn't seem to be. Freedom doesn't seem to be. Apparently, even states that we thought were the reddest of the red, the state that would never see tyranny upon its borders, for if tyranny be present, then the people would arise as one and end the tyranny and the tyrants alike. I think that by now you've all heard about this lady who runs a hair salon in Texas. That's right, Texas. We're not talking San Francisco. We're not talking California. We're not talking New Hampshire. We're not even talking New Jersey. This is the great state of Texas. This is the same state that I was contemplating moving to a few weeks ago because they had declared that they were going to open up. Well, in the great state of Texas, there's a lady who ran a hair salon or runs a hair salon, and she was sentenced to 7 days in jail. Why, you ask? Because she refused to apologize. And I read the transcripts of this, and if we have time, we might just get into it, because it's not the fact that she got 7 days in jail that was off-putting to me on a very basic level. It was what the judge said pre-sentencing, because it was very reminiscent of what the communists used to do back in the day. They'd get you into a room, and all you have to do is say you're sorry. All you have to do is promise you're never going to do it again. We're going to, we can work this out. You can go home to your family today. All you have to do is admit that you were wrong. And to her credit, this lady just said, it's not wrong to want to feed my kids. I'm sorry. And it's not. And if we live in the country we say we live in, then liberty ought to be the thing that we guard and treasure most. Because without liberty, there are people sitting on the sidelines salivating at the thought of socialism in this country. They're pushing as much as they can, as often as they can, without revealing themselves. Some of them now don't even care anymore. They're open about it. Yup, I'm a socialist. I'm a communist. In this country. Saying that that is what they want for the future. Now, the thing that I noticed, because I notice things, is that a lot of the people pushing for socialism, a lot of the people pushing for communism, have no skin in the game as far as the future is concerned. They are childless. They are barren. There is no continuity of species coming from these people. So they don't care that 20, 30 years down the line, this country could look like Venezuela. To them, enacting socialism equals power for themselves. Stand this. They're not doing it for the people. No communist, no socialist has ever done anything for the people. They have used the people towards their own ends, and the people were gullible enough to believe it. Sure. But there was no selfless dictator. Oh, I am doing this for my peoples, and my peoples shall live just as I do, and I shall live just as my peoples do. Nope, never happened, never will. Even a schmuck like Maduro is living in a palace. Think on that. Masticate upon it. Ceausescu, again, was a cobbler by trade. Lived in a palace. While people starved to death. While people were taken to camps. While people were sentenced to prison for doing nothing more egregious than having a Bible or disagreeing with the system. Understand that we are seeing that happening in this country in a state like Texas. A woman was sentenced to jail because she disagreed, because she wouldn't toe the line, because she wouldn't apologize, because she wouldn't say she was wrong in that she didn't obey the edicts of elected officials as though they were monarchs, lords, and ladies. It's getting ugly out there. People have cabin fever. I'm reading reports of people getting shot at McDonald's. It's McDonald's, man. Your standard of living is pretty low if you're arguing over McChicken or chicken nuggets at McDonald's. But this was the latest news. Three employees at McDonald's wounded by somebody who wasn't happy about the menu change, because apparently the menu is restricted, it's limited. Oh, by the way, not to, you know, toot my own horn or whatnot, but I've told you beforehand that when you listen to this program, there's about a 2 to 3 week lag time wherein what I talk about begins to manifest, begins to come to pass, if you will, in about 2 to 3 weeks. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about meat shortages. We talked about how people being people and overreacting are going to empty out the stores. The meat packing plants will be, you know, closed. And even if they don't eat that chicken, because summer's coming, it's not staying. Unless you're making chicken jerky, it's going to spoil. But people are buying more than they need because fear is a horrible, horrible thing, but a great motivator to get you to do certain things. So now, meat prices have shot through the roof, even though, who was it? Azar said that all meat packing and meat processing plants would be up and running within 7 days. But see, the news isn't reporting that. What the news continues to report is that all employees at every meat packing plant within these United States and all employees in every meat processing plant within these United States have fallen ill and died. That's the crux of what they're trying to put forth. How are we going to train new staff when everybody's dead? No, not everybody's dead. They shut down because they were myopic. Now they're going to be open up. There's plenty of cattle. There's plenty of pigs. There's plenty of chickens. It's just that there's no one to butcher them. And the girly men with the man buns and the, you know, thong sandals with the coexist sticker on their Prius, they'd have to get real hungry to butcher a chicken, wouldn't they? We don't need no farmers. We get what we need at the store. Well, apparently you need farmers, and you need truckers, and you need all these people that you've been despising for lo these many years. All these folks in flyover country, as some people like to call it, all these folks in, you know, the dairy state, the meat state, chicken state, poultry state, isn't Tyson in Indiana? So all the people that you looked your noses down on 24/7, all the people you disrespected and discredited and called all manner of names, Right now, if you happen to be living in California, yay, or if you happen to be living in the slums of New York, because right now it's all a slum, guess what, Kitty? You're dependent on those people that you look down on for your sustenance. If the truckers stop a trucking, and if the farmers stop a farming, and if the pig growers stop growing pig, and the chicken growers stop growing chicken, guess what happens to you in a city of 8 million with nothing in the store? See, because, again, perspective. Everybody looks down on flyover country. Oh, those hillbillies with their open spaces. Oh, those hillbillies with their gardens and their chicken coops. Ha, ha, ha. They shall never know the joys of smelling human urine walking down the street like downtown Chicago. No, they won't. Isn't it amazing? I went outside this morning at 5:30 a.m. to see the sunrise, and there were birds chirping in the trees. And guess what? If I need me some beef, I've got about 3 to 4 farmers in my phone who butcher their own cattle and sell their own beef, and it's all farm-grown and organic and grass-fed and yummy, yummy in my tummy. Same goes for eggs and same goes for chickens. But yes, yes, all the people in New York who have to hopscotch over fecal matter, and not doggy fecal matter, no, no, is human, is from peoples, is the poo-poo from peoples. All those apparently illuminated minds that have to hopscotch over human feces every morning to go get their Starbucks, which is now closed, they think themselves superior. They consider themselves more human than you because they've embraced diversity. And you know what Trudeau and Nancy Pelosi like to remind everybody? Diversity is our strength. Well, kids, if the meat processing plants weren't up and running in 7 days, as they promised they would be, if even, you know, McDonald's couldn't get their hands on their patties, because even though, you know, like, there still has to be a little meat in there, I'm assuming. You know, what, like 85% of a McDonald's patty is cardboard and, I don't know, rat tails. But there has to be some sort of beef in there to keep it all together. So if they can't get their hands on it, will you just be purchasing the buns and the pickles and the mayonnaise and the cheese? That is the question. And then soon, you know, because the cheese has to come from flyover country like Wisconsin, what if we decide we're going to keep our cheese? We're going to age it. We'll slap a sticker on it and call it fromage and send it to the French because they're hungry anyway. I'm trying to keep it a little bit upbeat today because for the last month and a half, it's all been just depressing, sad, hopeless news. So I, at least for the first 20, 30 minutes of the show, I'm trying to keep it lighthearted because you know what? If we're going to get into the meat and potatoes, something that I have in my fridge and in my pantry because I live in flyover country, if we get into the meat and potatoes of it, there's not much to smile about. I think that one of the most egregious things that will become the focus once this is in the rear view, and people are already realizing it. Look, they're trying to keep the fear at a maximum, and they're failing because people are realizing that this thing is not nearly as bad as they said it would be, and that if you're not over 85 and have heart murmurs, you're very likely to survive it even if you catch it. Now, starvation, another thing completely. One thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago that I said you would be shocked when the statistics started rolling in was the psychological effects that this would have on people. Because we're living in a country, and it's not just this country, everywhere in the world, people either self-medicate or they get prescriptions to medicate. Because everybody has no reason to be unhappy but think they are. And so they're popping pills left and right to stay afloat mentally. And when something like this happens, the entire world they've constructed for themselves begins to crumble. And some people react with great finality, if you will. I saw this article this morning as I was hearing the birds chirping in flyover country. And no one was chasing the birds or the squirrels trying to eat them. But if the truckers and the farmers don't bring you your stuff, if you live in California and if you live in New York, you're probably going to start to learn how to hunt squirrel. They say it tastes like chicken. Don't know. Haven't tried. Let me know. I saw this morning, and it made me sad, because anybody with half a brain and the ability to be objective and the ability to do a little deductive reasoning could see it coming from a mile away. The rise in the suicide rate caused by lockdowns in Australia is predicted to exceed deaths from the Wuhan coronavirus by a factor of 10. The Australian reported Thursday, which is today. So let me read that first sentence again so that it sinks in. Because I understand right now, in these United States, even suicides are, you know, death by COVID. But eventually, that's going to have to end, because not everybody who's dying in America is dying of this virus. Apparently, no one's dying of heart disease anymore. No one's dying of the flu. No one's dying of car accidents. Nobody's dying of anything else. Hey, Roger got shot in the face. And what did he die of? Coronavirus. So we can't keep doing this to ourselves. But the reason they keep reporting the numbers the way they have been is to keep the fear stoked. Because if people are still afraid, they're still going to be afraid to go outside. They're still going to be afraid to go to the store. They're going to be afraid to go out for ice cream. They're going to be afraid, afraid, afraid. There's still going to be shut-ins, even if everything opens up. And this is the long play. This is the reason they're doing what they're doing. This is the reason they're pumping the fear nonstop, is to hopefully keep the economy sluggish or just dead for the next few months until after the elections. Because, again, this is not prophetic. This is just me being aware of what human psychology is capable of. If, by some miracle, Joe, where am I, Biden wins the next election, the morning after, every single news outlet will report how people are optimistic. They'll report how there is no more fear. Everyone's getting back to their lives. Now, if Joe Biden wins, we're becoming a communist country within 6 months, and I'm seeing a revolution. But that was, you know, that was foreseen a long time ago. Just saying. I know. There's a lot of people prophesizing lots of things, including what? Alien invasion. You know, just again, I've talked about this at length, but I feel the need at this point to interject the following. Be careful of who you allow to speak into your life. Have enough discernment to know whether it is of God or of the belly. Have enough discernment to know if the person is trying to stoke your fear to sell you some potatoes au gratin or some silver solution, or if it is a message from God so that you might know and not be afraid of what the future holds. So I thought I'd throw that in there, because I really don't want to get into the meat of this article. It's hopeless and depressing, but we're almost halfway through the program, and I can't I can't keep the levity going because there's very little to laugh about. The rise in the suicide rate caused by lockdowns in Australia is predicted to exceed deaths from the Wuhan coronavirus by a factor of 10, the Australian reported Thursday. Now, what this means is the following. For every one person that dies of the coronavirus, there will be 10 people who would have taken their lives from fear and due to the lockdowns. The researchers from Sydney University's Brain and Mind Center forecast a 50% rise in the national suicide rate because of the economic and social impact of government responses to the virus, which would drive deaths to as much as 10 times higher than those caused by the coronavirus itself. Now, let me paraphrase and interject another thing here. Australia doesn't have nearly the problem that the U.S. has with opioid abuse. And there are a lot of people, and yes, this time even in flyover country, even in conservative states, I guess if you want to call it, but it's a national issue. It's a national pandemic. If you want to see real numbers, look at people who die from overdoses every day. But see, we don't talk about that. That's not something we want to talk about. We want to talk about the things that we can't see and an enemy we cannot identify, because that keeps everybody afraid. If you can identify the enemy and goes, hey, there's the guy, or hey, there's the cause, then you're not afraid of your neighbor. You're not afraid of the guy standing next to you in the store. You're not afraid of the kid pumping your gas at the gas station, because you know who the enemy is. The enemy is clearly defined. But if you don't have a clearly defined enemy, then everyone is suspicious. Anyone clearing their throat gets at least one dirty look, no matter if they're in a public space, outside, inside, whatever. All you have to do is go, and then everyone's eyes will be on you. Because it's a reaction caused by fear. And if you cannot identify your enemy, well, then everybody gets to be afraid. Already this year, global deaths by suicide are significantly higher than those contributed to the coronavirus. So let's delve into some numbers, shall we? For those that still think this is the worst thing ever, it's not. It's not the worst thing ever. But when you start seeing people literally starving, when food banks begin to run out of food, when beef prices are $25 for a pound of just, you know, fat, then you'll understand what real bad is. Because comparatively speaking, you'll understand that there's a lot worse things out there than coronavirus. Already this year, global deaths by suicide are significantly higher than those attributed to the coronavirus. According to the respected worldometers running tallies, there have already been 374,225 suicides since the start of 2020. Whereas the Wuhan coronavirus has claimed 251,898 lives. Johns Hopkins University reveals. Oh, that's just conspiracy theory. It's Johns Hopkins University. But see, everybody that says something that goes against the grain, everybody that says something that certain people don't like, gets labeled conspiracy theory. That's it. That's what it is. This is all of no. It's Johns Hopkins University. They're the ones that put out this data. Same reason why less and less people are afraid of this virus and more concerned about a dead economy. Because the data does not support the numbers that have been bandied about. It is just unrealistic. We were talking, 2.5 million dead. And that is if we socially distanced, whatever that means now, if we wore masks and put on hazmat suits. With all that, it was supposed to be 2.5 million people. Guess what? Not even close. Now, the guy, and this is, okay, again, back to levity. The guy that came out with the model, insisting that 2.5 million people were going to die. Apparently, he was caught not socially distancing. So he was so afraid of this thing that his married mistress came over for what the young kids like to call a beauty call. He had the coronavirus, gave her the coronavirus. She went home and gave her husband and kids the coronavirus. And now apparently he's resigned from the university he was working in after scaring the world into killing its economies, thereby triggering global starvation. Thank you, you dirty, dirty English man. Now, back to this article. I keep avoiding it because it's brutal. It's brutal, and this is just the beginning of the data starting to roll in. We haven't seen the real numbers. When you start seeing the real numbers of overdoses and suicides since this entire thing started, then you'll realize what a real pandemic looks like. If the Australian research holds up for other nations as well, the global suicide rate could end up far outpacing the death toll from COVID-19. The uptick in Australian suicides will be felt over a number of years, the Australian scholars suggest. And the coronavirus response could produce a generational mental health crisis. Honestly, I don't disagree with this. And let me tell you why. This past Sunday, the ice cream shop in town opened for the first time in forever. And the way my kids reacted to being put in the car and actually taken somewhere was endearing and troubling all at the same time. I was a little concerned. I haven't taken them to the store. I haven't taken them anywhere since this whole thing started. Not because I'm afraid. Because I don't want to explain to a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old why fully grown adults are wearing masks. That's the reason. So it's not because I'm afraid. Oh, look, he says one thing. And no, that's not the reason. The reason I haven't taken him to the store is because I don't want to have to explain why everyone's wearing a mask. Now, thankfully, our downtown in our little flyover town in flyover country, nobody, absolutely no, the entire lakefront was packed. There were people everywhere. It was a nice day. It was in the 60s. There were people everywhere. Not one person wearing a mask. I know. We should be reported. We should get the Texas lawman to come and arrest all of us now, huh? But yeah, I got my kids ice cream. We went to the ice cream shop and they got ice cream. And they were so excited you'd think I'd given them a pony and an elephant. On the one hand, it was good that they learned to appreciate little things again. But on the other hand, I felt sad for my kids. So when the scholars start talking about a generational mental health crisis, I tend to lean towards agreeing with them. And they say that this would result in an extra 1,500 deaths each year over the next 5 years. just in Australia. They haven't done a global study. So this is just in Australia. An extra 1,500 people over the next 5 years. The university forecast has received backing from the Australian Medical Association, and Health Minister Greg Hunt is expected to present the results at the National Cabinet next week. Along with the sharp rise in suicides, the research also foresees substantial economic fallout from reduced productivity from the mental health effects of unemployment, school dropouts, and family crises. This is what the future holds. If we opened everything up now, imagine if they dragged this out for another 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever, because it was supposed to be about flattening curves. The curve has been flattened, and still people are on lockdown, and still people are getting arrested, and still, where was it? New Jersey. Did you see that guy getting his head caved in with nightsticks? We're trying to save your life. Here, take a beating. Unbelievable. And when this is all, I've said it in private, I'm going to say it in public, when this is all said and done, every single person that exceeded their authority, every single person that was a little too excited about arresting moms with their kids in the park and beating the stuffing out of people with nightsticks, needs to be removed from their job, first of all, and second of all, they need to be prosecuted. Because that's the only way we can avoid repeating this. This will be a blemish on the history of this nation. The way certain people reacted to this will be a blemish on the history of this nation. According to Ian Hickey, Australia's former mental health commissioner and the head of the Brain and Mind Center, wouldn't you like to work at the Brain and Mind Center? The annual rate of suicide could rise from 3,000 up to 4,500, with youth suicides making up nearly half that figure. We are facing a situation where between an extra 750 and 1,500 suicides may occur annually. This is in addition to the 3,000-plus lives that are lost to suicide already every year, Professor Hickey said. Deaths from mental health issues are just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the long-term health impacts from the lockdowns. However, leading some observers to propose that locking down whole populations in the hope of flattening the curve was a catastrophic error, perhaps the worst policy mistake ever committed by Western government during peacetime. Because they were making decisions based on forecasts. They were making decisions based on models. And the models were saying something truly horrific. 8% of this nation dead. 2.5 million people is what they projected if we did everything right. If we socially distanced, if we stayed home and learned to braid our own hair, if we only saw the sun once every 16 weeks, something along those lines. If we did everything right, it would be 2.5 million people. We're not going to get anywhere near that. So seeing as the models were wrong, perhaps our reaction should change. Our reaction should be modified. What do you think? I know. Oh, you hate old people and you want to see them dead. Nope, but I love my kids and I want to see them fed. So there needs to be a balance. We need to strike a balance. Because if we can't strike a balance, it's going to get uglier and uglier. And that's putting it mildly. Well, since it is Thursday, guess what? unemployment claims came out. And they fell. I know. Are you excited? I'm excited. Unemployment claims fell. You want to hear to what? 3.169 million. That brings new unemployment claims, a proxy for layoffs, since the coronavirus pandemic began to claim jobs, around 33.5 million people. Apparently last week, or the week of March 28th, no, it wasn't last week, March 28th was the biggest claim hit on record, which was 6.87 million. But another 3.2 million people almost out of jobs is no easy thing to accept. And yet there are still those who are adamant that until there is a vaccine, and by the way, don't even get me started on the vaccine thing. I know. Believe me, I know. Until there is a vaccine, we can't get back to normal. Well, then we're all going to starve. Especially all y'all folk out, you know, on the coasts, if you will. Sure, you know, movie stars and actors and whatnot aren't going to starve. They have their mansions and they have their fences and they have their $24,000 side-by-side freezers. Like Nancy. Nancy has her ice cream, so she's not going to starve. But what the rich folk and the politicians and those who think they will not be affected by this seem not to take into account is that they are a very small minority. And those who will be hungry are a very large majority. If you want to know what happens when people snap, if you want to know what happens when people reach their breaking point, Google videos of Romanian palaces getting overrun by its citizens back in 89. They jumped the fences. They beat down the guards, they beat down the door, and they went through the whole place. Now, Ceausescu had already fled, but that didn't stop them from ransacking everything. And you know what? Sure, there are a handful of movie stars and moguls, and I honestly don't think Nancy rises to the level. I think you have to have billionaire next to your name to be able to fly off to New Zealand or some such. Most of the people insisting that, oh, hush, it's not so bad, just stay home and order Uber Eats, they're going to be there when all the hungry, unwashed masses break down their door. They would not have fled to New Zealand. They would not have fled to their fallout shelter. Just a thought. Especially for those that keep beating this drum. No, we have to stay shut down at least another month. No, we don't. If you look at the cold data, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the fact that this thing has a 99.7% survivability rate, well, it doesn't warrant this reaction. It doesn't warrant shutting down an entire economy, putting 30-odd million people on unemployment, and jailing business owners, putting them in jail. Oh, by the way, just as an aside, in the county where this hairdresser had her business, there were less than 20 virus deaths. in the entire county. Do you want to know how many people tested positive in the jail where she was put in? 270 some odd people. So they took this woman and they put her in a place where 270 odd people were confirmed to have the virus. Because she opened her business in a county where less than 20 people died from it. And again, I am very, very skeptical that every death that says corona really is corona. Because all the other causes of death have magically shrunk to nothing. Now, there are bright spots. There are certain people standing up, and God bless them. There's a sheriff in Riverside County, and I read this article because Riverside County was very close to where we used to live. We used to live in Orange County, and Riverside County, Chad Bianco, he's the sheriff, reaffirmed his stance on not enforcing stringent stay-at-home orders, telling the Riverside County Board of Supervisors this week that he refuses to make criminals out of business owners, single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals for exercising their constitutional rights. You got to give the man a hand. Concise to the point and true. He reaffirmed his stance on not enforcing stringent stay-at-home orders, telling the Riverside County Board of Supervisors this week that he refuses to make criminals out of business owners, single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals for exercising what? Their constitutional rights. Isn't it an odd thing that criminals are being released from prisons and business owners and single moms and people exercising their constitutional rights are being put in? Tell me that doesn't make your skin crawl. Again, if every single person that overreached, if every single person that abused their authority is not drummed out of office and prosecuted when this is all over, they will do this over and over and over again. Anytime they feel their power slipping, anytime they feel as though they need to make a political move, they will have their propaganda arm. They will have the media. Oh, did you hear? Flu season's going to be 10 times worse than any other time in history. Yep, stay-at-home order. If you're out, you get fined. You get clubbed. You get put in jail for exercising your constitutional right. What's the newest thing that we're hearing? Murder hornets. Yeah. So there are plenty of reasons for you to stay home, for you to be on lockdown in perpetuity. You know how many people die in car accidents every year? Yep. We should outlaw driving, too, while we're at it. 8 weeks ago, officials, including Governor Gavin Newsom, participated in something never done before in our nation's history, Bianco began. Government ordered residents into their homes, closed their businesses, made them wear masks, forbid them from going to church, and eliminated constitutional freedoms put in place over 200 years ago, he explained. And I hope somebody's listening. And I hope you realize that the damage done to the Constitution, the damage done to your freedoms, the damage done to the economy, the damage done to people's mental health is incalculable. In the name of a public health crisis, our civil liberties and constitutional protections were placed on hold, he continued. Officials, Bianco said, have asked a lot of residents over the last 2 months as part of a greater effort to flatten the curve and prevent hospitals from being completely overwhelmed by coronavirus patients. It worked, he said, listing a series of statistics. What isn't being emphasized is that 2,000 of the 4,300 people who have tested positive have already recovered and returned to work. What that means is that out of 2.5 million people in Riverside County, we have only 2,300 residents positive with this virus. Statistically, that is less than a tenth of 1%. Is this man using reason and logic? I'm sure one news outlet or another will put out some sort of heinous thing about him. How he wants to see grandma die or something. Forthcoming decisions from officials should be based on facts and data, not protections or projections and fear. He continued stressing that residents do not need to live in fear and nothing that the risk remains low, noting that the risk remains low for people without serious medical conditions. However, he urged at-risk residents to remain at home, and that is perfectly reasonable. If you are at risk, if you have an immunocompromised system, if you just like staying indoors, Godspeed, God bless, do it. But don't demand it of the rest of the nation. Bianco said he did not enforce the stay-at-home order for the beginning, partly because he trusted our residents' ability to do the right thing without fear of being arrested, and emphasized that he continues to hold that position. I knew they could be trusted to act responsibly and like responsible adults. No! You're supposed to be treated like a little kid by your government. Not even an intelligent little kid. One of the little kids that eats worms out of the ground at their own burgers. I knew they could be trusted to act as responsible adults, and I was correct. As we continue, I will enforce my position. Not only do we not have the resources to enforce unreasonable orders, I refuse to make criminals out of business owners, single moms, and otherwise healthy individuals for exercising their constitutional rights. I believe Riverside County residents are responsible enough to proceed cautiously. This guy's in California. Things are changing, and they're so upside down and topsy-turvy, it's hard to keep track anymore. This is a California sheriff in Southern California, in Riverside of all places. And he's saying, hey, this is unconstitutional. I can't force this on my residents. I'm not going to criminalize business owners. And in Texas, they're jailing women for daring to open their business. And the amazing thing about this particular woman is that when she was asked to apologize for being selfish, her response was perfect. She said, I'm not going to apologize for wanting to feed my kids. Nor should she. Understand that the longer this gets dragged out, the worse it's going to get, because these people feel as though they have a license to abuse their fellow man. They will feel as though they have license to act the way they're acting. If you have the time, I would encourage you to go and read this transcript between what the judge said and what this woman said. Because the words of that judge were absolutely terrifying. Just do what we say, and everything will be okay. I don't know how many people could have stood up to that. The promise of being free to go back home that very day. The promise of getting to go home and hug your kids and have dinner with your husband. All you had to do was admit that you were wrong. The time is coming. And I believe it to be sooner rather than later, when all you will have to do in order to be able to go home and hug your kids and have dinner with your wife or with your husband is to deny Christ. Will you have the strength to stand? Because, see, this is bigger than just a salon owner in Texas. This is foreshadowing what is to come upon the earth. So I leave you with that. No more levity for today. But I thank you for your prayers. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your encouragements. And until next week, may God bless you and keep you. Gino, if you've got anything to say, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mike. I would urge people to check out our website. It seems like more of you are definitely going there, handofhelp.com. And please read the dreams and visions given to Dimitri Dudeman and Michael Boldea. Many of them have very significant meaning today. I've been going through them. I think you should also consider reading the book Through the Fire Without Burning, Dimitri's testimony. And we do carry dreams and visions in booklet form. So we are seeing an uptick in people ordering because I think they see on the horizon big trouble coming. And maybe, as Mike said, this may not be the big event that God said is coming to America, but it's a precursor of what's coming to the whole world. And it's a precursor to what's coming to the United States. When they start arresting people, good people, we're not talking vagrants and bums and drunkards and drug addicts. We're talking business owners that are trying to pay their payroll. You know, we are headed at some form of civil insurrection. And Dudeman talked about civil war starting in the middle of the country. And we also see Russia and China somewhat in a, not Russia and China, but America and China in a form of he said, she said. He did this, we did, you know, with the whole coronavirus, where did it develop from? And all of this is leading to big trouble ahead. So please check out handofhelp.com, our information, our books, our materials. Thank you for listening to The Light of Truth. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.